What's new? What you got? Real simple.
And I'll interject a little bit.
What
I've titled this here on this live video is Reason to Ride, Dwayne Elmer. The last one, it was Dwayne Elmer story, so just have a different title. What we really want to do is discuss the, of course, how you know everybody and the stand up in Malheur, the Harney County Resource Center, as it was come to be known. What is that that use, the occupation that it was called, adverse possession? Yeah. So by adverse possession, it was.
We'll need you to move even closer there so that when this camera is turned, it's not going to hit the window.
Can we get your name?
Stephen Pask.
Stephen Pask is our photographer and our video man.
Well, I'm going to use this. I don't usually use this, but.
This is William Wagner.
Howdy. Improvise.
So, yes, we did go to the studios, and they ran us off. They had an exterminator coming in.
The chair so you don't have to.
So this is how the professionals do it, unlike me.
Jeez. Okay. We got We the People and God Bless. I like that. Reads God Bless We the People.
Probably not be able to use the back of the chair.
Oh, yeah, God Bless We the People. That is nice.
I just noticed that now.
That's nice.
Okay,
yeah,
so
change everything. Okay, so you've got that camera running.
Take a look at my camera, how the angle looks.
Well, you sit down in your chair because we're going to be have you on the picture too.
Okay, it's all ready to roll, I think. Okay. All you got to do is push this button. No, I think I had it set right there. Don't move the camera because I got.
Well, you've got to sit in the chair. You've got your okay. Yeah, so you're just recording him and not yourself. Is that what you're?
Well, saying? You'll get a little bit of me, but mainly see it says God Bless We the People.
Oh,
I
so
like
you're
the subliminal message
so,
in the background.
So then let's move your chair instead of moving his chair.
Yeah.
Back over.
Just slightly. You're good. You know what? I forgot my tie.
And your hat. Where's your tie at? Okay, so as when Mr. Wagner gets these, it's going to go out over the airwaves, and then it will also go to his YouTube channel. And if you'll, well, you can't see me. If you'll look below in his link, we'll add some links and support for Dwayne. We'll get his address.
SID number here.
His what?
His SID number. I don't know if that's been released yet or not.
Okay.
You have to have a SID number and everything in order to write him letters.
So
that, yeah. We'll get a hold of that.
Yeah, we'll talk to Sergeant Moen and get that information for sure. And look at those. Are those rodents? Is there a rodent infestation in California?
Guinea pigs.
Who's being tested? Oh, look, an orange tree in the backyard. And there is, it looks like an apple tree.
Yep. Apple, plums, oranges.
Mmm. And look at the tearing on the Italian cypress out there. Look, there's guinea pigs running in the yard, too. Oh, my word, he looks.
It's sharp. Not like hurting cats, it's worse.
It's worse than cats. Can y'all see this guy out here? Oh, we've gone from hellboy to guinea pigs.
What you did?
Well, good. We're doing something right. There's the hat and tie.
Okay, I got the hat. It's going to shut off. Uh-oh. Rolling. We're rolling.
Rolling.
Okay. My camera's rolling. Steven, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome. Your name is?
Jamie.
And what do you know that I don't know that just happened?
Well, Dwayne Elmer was one of the occupiers in Malheur Refuge. And he was convicted of digging a hole, and he is now serving a year and a day
He's going to serve a year and a day for digging a hole. Let me take off my Bundy cowboy hat because this makes my head swell up with pressure.
Digging a hole.
This is from Judge Brown?
Yeah, Judge Anna Brown.
Judge Anna Brown, the Wicked Witch of the West.
When the FBI came and told them that they were coming in to kill them, he decided to dig a hole.
A place to drop into to dodge the bullets.
A place for everybody to be so that they're not shot.
Yeah, makes right sense.
So now he's been convicted by a judge. He didn't go in front of a jury or anything of a misdemeanor charge, so he has to go to prison for a year.
And you say he rode his horse down to turn himself
rode
in?
Rode his horse, 1,100 miles.
What? First of all, did anybody get any footage of him riding his horse?
Maureen Peltier got the whole journey. Well, she missed a couple days here and there.
I'd like to see any amount of that.
Andrea Parker was there for quite a while.
Why didn't he get an attorney or just demand a jury trial? Do you think?
I have no idea.
I'd like to talk to him. Well, I'd like to talk to Jerry Delamus, too, who's doing what? 50 plus years?
No.
Jerry Delamus has got 7 years.
7 years.
Was it eight or seven?
It was 8 years because she gave him an extra. She gave him an extra year.
For what?
For coming and standing. For transporting weapons across state lines.
And I have the last interview with Jerry Delamus before he was arrested.
I'd like to see that. You got it on YouTube?
Yes, I do. I'll get you the link. Also, Thomas Lochinvar Stewart would like to speak with you also, so we'll put you in contact. I'll give you his number.
I would like the address of everybody who's in jail or who's pending trial.
I have a friend of ours is actually going through a list of all the ones that have been sentenced, all of them. There's 53.
There's something wrong with the justice system, and I think what's wrong is it's not our justice system.
Not.
It does not represent we the people. It represents the corporate Agenda 21, the globalist agenda, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It does.
How many days were you up there at the Malheur standoff?
I was born and raised in Burns, Oregon.
Which is how many miles from the
Malheur? 30 miles.
30 miles. So you're close. You know the crooked sheriff who got appointed by the crooked judge?
Judge Grassley. I was born and raised.
Judge Grassley actually returned my call.
Oh yeah.
He left a message for me, and he returned my call, but I missed it. I wanted to interview him, to ask him why he doesn't believe he's a criminal, but I didn't get a chance because we didn't have a live conversation. But it seems to me, if your judge is appointed by a judge and the judge is crooked, the sheriff retired. I'd like to know why the other sheriff retired. Do you know?
I have no idea. I wasn't there during that time.
So the buddies call for help. They win in Nevada.
No.
And I talked to Cliven Bundy at the Crown Plaza Hotel on, I think, the 19th or 20th first floor. We did an event there trying to start grand juries of we the people to start indicting the judges. David Fee picked up the major part of that cost, which was thousands of dollars. It had a potential of seating, I think, 500 people. And you're overlooking the Pacific Ocean. You probably drove by it when you came up here and didn't even notice it. And Cliven felt, we won. The feds stood away. And I said to Cliven privately, you need to start a grand jury and indict the BLM or they will come after you. If you don't come after them, they will come after you. He said, well, it hasn't happened, but as my bodyguard and everything's cool right now.
But it did happen.
And then a few months later, just what I feared would happen. He didn't indict them. He said, I don't know how to do a grand jury. Don't know anything about the grand jury. In fact, he said on film, which is on YouTube, he said, I just know when the militia showed up, the crap stopped. And he was right. And now he's free, a man, 700 days in jail, and never convicted of even a misdemeanor. And I assume his attorney, Whipple, who I can't get to answer my calls, is going to countersue for wrongful imprisonment, destruction of cattle, destruction of water lines, and it'll be in the millions. But the militia that answered the call, does that seem right to you that they should be...
They're
sort of,
yeah.
Some of them are sitting in prison.
Sitting in prison, and right. They're the ones that stopped
yep.
the crap.
Stopped How many, the bloodbath.
Basically. They stopped the bloodbath, and yep. now we know that Daniel P. Love not only had a kill list with Bundy's name and Ammon's name and Ryan's name and a whole bunch of militia people, he had a written down list, yep. which they didn't want to get on the court record in Nevada in this last trial. And that's why that crooked, I think that's fair to say, that crooked judge, Gloria Navarro in her kangaroo court, she stopped that trial with prejudice because she didn't want no more videotape. No more witnesses flipping sides and saying, hey.
Kleiman actually said he's not happy with the outcome.
I got that.
Because 2 more hours in court and it all would have came up.
It all would have come
up. All the corruption would have been out for public view. And that's why it was dismissed with prejudice, is because there's so much corruption behind that that they're not willing to.
If everything comes out, you're going to see Gloria appointed by Bundy after a recommendation by Harry Reid. Harry Reid's office flunky named Neil Cornsey, with no experience, gets to be director of the BLM. And then Gloria goes on, this was a setup to kill the Bundys. Only the Bundys didn't know it. But had they not called for the militia, and Daniel went out with his kill list, they weren't just killing the cattle to kill cattle. The order that I read, that is allegedly the true order, said they were to remove the cattle.
Right.
Didn't say anything about killing cattle. Said to remove the cattle. They weren't removing. They were boom, 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 boom. And I believe that based on this witness that called me, I believe the plan was to get the Bundys to get so angry, grab their guns, and they already had snipers set up. Snipers were ready to blow Cliven's brains out, Ammon's brains out, Ryan's brains out. Ammon's brains out. As soon as they picked up the rifle and came out of the house with it or out of the car, their heads would have been splattered. The sharpshooters were already set up in the hill. And according to one witness, two of those snipers were mafia hitmen. They weren't even registered with the BLM.
Well, BLM's got their own snipers that are...
Well, they do. But somebody was covering, making sure that there was a lot of blood, and all the Bundys had to do was pick up their rifles, and it was all over. And then afterward, they said, well, they were fighting us. They were shooting at us. We got their fingerprints on their guns. We got multiple witnesses. They had guns. And the Bundys never once touched a rifle or a handgun. And that's probably part of the reason they're alive today. But when you see that Gloria Navarro in her kangaroo court goes from a street attorney, never been a Superior Court judge, just goes from that to federal judge, and then within 2 years, she's the presiding federal judge.
Yeah, I don't know all the statistics on that one.
Well, I did some research on this, and people have been calling me with information, and I can't tell you everything, but it looked to me like this was a slam dunk. As soon as the Bundys grabbed their rifles or handguns, they were dead meat. Luckily, they never did, but the militia there, with all the witnesses and all those people. Were you there in Nevada in April?
No, I wasn't there in April.
But so how many people are in jail from the Oregon thing? Let's flip back to that.
I don't know the exact numbers.
10-4.
7 of them, aren't there?
I'm sorry, I was reading a comment here. Say it again.
I think there's 7 that are...
still?
Either in jail or on their way to jail. We had one was sentenced today.
Okay, so Greg Burleson is in 68 years. We have...
talking about the Oregon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, how many from Oregon? Because the Bundys walked out not guilty in Oregon. The Bundys and also that lady who's out free right away.
Shauna Cox. Yes, we had Ammon Bundy. We had his older brother, Ryan. We had Jeff Banta.
Talking about the ones that are in right now.
Oh, I was seeing who the first in the first trial. They went to Neil Wampler,
Dwayne Emmer.
Yeah, in the second round. Yes, in the first round you were talking about.
So the first round they all Neil Wampler.
Yes,
nobody was convicted of anything.
Nobody was convicted
in Oregon. The first year.
That's right.
Now they had a second tier trial.
That's correct.
And what's his name that rode his horse down?
Dwayne.
Dwayne,
Amen.
He didn't show up for the trial.
No, he showed up.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah, absolutely he did.
But he couldn't get a jury. He just agreed to cop a plea and show up. What happened to his horse?
His horse is on the way back to...
So he's got someone to take it back up?
Yeah. Do you have those names, Thomas? Who is in?
It seems to me something's very wrong.
And Tom, yes. Have
Daniel P. Love, thug in charge of the BLM, with what, 100, 150 guys? They had more armor on than I had in Vietnam. And I knew people were trying to shoot me, but these guys had more armor. But
that's your everyday officer nowadays is a fully militarized soldier.
Yeah, this is.
They step out of their squad cars. It's not just the BLM. It's every single law enforcement individual is armed to the teeth. Yeah. Period.
Well, they're going to need it if they keep pushing the people up against the wall. But I can see a righteous grand jury, correctly formatted with their bonds, oaths of office, could indict Anna Brown just based on 5 pages of the transcript that I read. She should be indicted. She should be waiting for trial without bond.
So should Myrie. So should Harry Reid.
Harry Reid, definitely.
All the way down the line.
But nobody knows about Neil Cornsey. He was head of the BLM. What qualified him out of the thousands of people in the BLM that have been serving in the BLM for decades, what makes him suddenly qualified to go from office flunky for Harry Reid to director of the BLM, and then same Harry Reid recommends on Christmas Eve 09 to the Judicial Select Committee on Appointments on Christmas Eve 09 to Obama to appoint, and May 10th of 2010, Gloria goes from street attorney with no judicial experience that I know of. She's suddenly a federal judge. And within 2 or 3 years, she's presiding. So I look at this and I say...
I better go get my battery.
I've been in the past 2 years.
Is the car
every
open?
Every single one of them is the same way.
Is the car open?
Unfortunately, I have to agree. That's what I have noticed.
Nevada, Oregon, all of them. They're all the same.
Yeah, Nevada is so corrupt, I won't even go into the state anymore. It's just so beyond New Jersey and Nevada. I won't even go there. The last time I did any filming in New Jersey, I think, was 07. Yeah, I think it was 2007. And what I saw was just appalling. And I said, I'm never going back to New Jersey under any circumstance for any reason.
Well, and my fiance is from Jersey and she lives in Nevada now, so.
And Nevada's the other state. So we got 6 guys going to jail that were militia up in the mail hour.
Some of them weren't militia.
They were just there.
They were there. Jason Patrick was he was a spokesman. He was.
And there's Pete Santilli was Pete militia. Santilli, right. He was media. They didn't care. They put him in jail anyway.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going around on the internet about that whole scenario. But
how many people do you think that you met up there were fake militia? Were the 3%ers fake?
Some of them were, obviously. I mean, we had...
Were they government agents or government stooges sent there to...
Yeah, at one point there was more informants in Oregon. There was actually more informants on the refuge than there were actual occupiers.
That's amazing. That's something people should keep in mind. You have to know who you're dealing with 16, long in advance.
16 known informants there at the Malheur.
13, 14, 15, 16?
16 known informants.
And they don't want their names publicized in court records, do they?
Well, they're out there.
Yeah, they're out there.
We know who they are.
So it makes me wonder, how many informants were in April
Nevada?
2014... near Bunkerville, under the I-15.
Well, they didn't need that many informants. I mean, they already said that they'd had plainclothes officers out there to evaluate the amendment zones, the First Amendment areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they already had plainclothes mixed in with everybody else. So.
Well, it strikes me that, I was asking people who watch my show to call 202-456-1111. And ask Trump to give a general full pardon to all the Bundys. Blanket pardon with all rights restored as if they'd never done anything wrong. Now, that's not necessary for the Bundys, but you ought to do it for Dwayne.
Any of them that were involved.
You ought to do it for all the militia. He needs to pardon these. guys because he's been wanting to tell the Ninth Circuit of a federal court system, he's been wanting to slap them upside. This would slap the Ninth Circuit upside the face. Whoops.
Did I do it?
I'm sorry for that, people.
Sorry.
If the Bundy militia and the Malheur militia, if they got all blanket
pardons,
that would slap Anna Brown upside the face, like saying, you're a dumb, wicked witch of the West. And all these people you convicted, I'm going to give them full pardons with all rights restored, as if they never did anything wrong. And now we start your indictment. That's what should be happening to Gloria Never. She should be incarcerated right now, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I don't know why the people in Nevada haven't formed their own grand jury. It only takes 13 to 23 people. All they got to do is get their oath of office correct, get a bond from an insurance company, file it, and have a disbarred attorney guide them through the ropes so they don't get arrested like that grand jury up in Colorado that was going after their bond money. They wanted to collect the bond money. I don't care about the bond money. I want to see the crooked judges sitting in jail. Absolutely. And there's so many of them. And one of the things I have the book upstairs, is the original 13th Amendment ratified in 1812. Under this amendment, as soon as you join the bar, you lose your citizenship in the U.S., and you are no longer a U.S. citizen, and you are forbidden under the original 13th. Did you know about this?
No.
Yes, and let me interrupt you real quick.
Mr. Easley's off camera. He's interrupting you.
Okay, and Thomas Lacovar Stewart, he came from New Jersey. He came to the Bundy Ranch in 2014 and also up to Oregon, and he's in a halfway house now. He had some firearm charges there. So... and as you were saying, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but Thomas wants to get you on the show tonight too, if you can.
We'll see.
Okay.
But I can show you an original book from 1822 with the 13th Amendment. Pause a minute. Stephen Pitt. Pause button on my camera. I'm going to get that and put it on camera.
Yeah, you and I have talked about that actually also. You and I have spoke about that, that you have that book.
I have it, and I'm going to get it right now. I'm not bullshitting.
Okay, we're still live over here.
Oh, sorry. Give me a minute.
Okay, so stand by here. Let me get my glasses back on here. Yeah, so... The 13th, that's right. And Thomas has covered that as well. And so RTR Truth Media, you can find Thomas's channel over on YouTube as well. And you'll find a lot of research and information there. That's right. Thanks. Thanks, Tom. Okay, is that what I do? How do I do this? That right there, maybe? Oh, okay. I got you, Tom. And add.
Take a left.
I think I got you coming in.
Hey.
There's Tom.
Hey.
Hey, how are you, brother?
I'm doing really good. I support William Wagner's research on the 13th Amendment. I see him coming back. When you go on camera, I'm going to jump back off again, or you can knock me back off, but we have taken his material as well, and we went to the Texas State Library, the Sam Houston Research Center in Liberty, Texas, and we recorded similar books that he's showing to you right now.
Okay, we're back rolling here.
Oh, now we're back.
We're back rolling here on camera. The first Constitution of Maine from 1825, it's very, very fragile. It basically has cardboard covers with thin cloth over it. It has the original 13th Amendment. This is from the state of Connecticut, 1838. But when you open it up, it actually says 1839. And here's the Facebook. It has the 13th Amendment. 1839, the statute laws of the state of Connecticut, and it gives the federal constitution, and the 13th Amendment is in here. And this one is from
This is also from Connecticut. This is 1835. Yeah, if you see it on the binder, it has the original 13th Amendment. This is Rhode Island. Yeah, I've already got it thumbnailed. These are the public laws of the state of Rhode Island. I don't know if it focuses in, but
pull your top cover back, son. There you go.
1839, and I'll turn the page and I'll read this to you, because this is kind of amazing, and they never tell you about this. On page 46, and this book is from this one is from 1822. If you look close down here, it actually says 1822. And on page 46 is the original 13th Amendment. And no lawyer, no judge will tell you about this. And if you ask them about it, they'll say, oh, it was never ratified. Well, excuse me. Since second generation of founding fathers were not stupid, and they didn't reprint mistakes for 50 years. Here's the original 13th Amendment. You got that, Stephen? Right there?
Got it.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you. It's short. It's very simple. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatever from any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, that's what the bar is, such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them or either of them. And it doesn't say just judges. That means every attorney who's sitting in Congress has no right to hold that office. He's engaged in high treason. And I have these four volumes. I paid a guy named Gus $1,000 a piece because I wanted to have the originals. This is an original I just showed you. This is 1822. That's a 196-year-old volume. And you look at the edge, and you can tell by the way the pages are crinkling up and turning yellow. It's the real thing. It's not a copy. It's not a reprint. Now do your research, and you find out it was never unratified. It was never repealed. Even though they just stopped printing it after 1868, it was never repealed. So if something is not repealed, it's still the law. Therefore, Anna Brown is guilty of high treason for taking an office of judgeship. The prosecutors, who are a member of the bars, are guilty of high treason. Gloria Navarro, or Navarro.
Navarro.
Navarro, I like to say Navarro in her kangaroo court because it rhymes. Gloria is guilty of high treason. Judge Geck in this county is guilty of high treason. Judge Herman in this county, Santa Barbara County, California, had no oath of office on file when I demanded to see it. Took him a day and a half to go print one up, backdate it, and have his wife backdate the signing of it. But they're supposed to have it on demand within minutes. They didn't have it for a day and a half. That's just Judge Herman. But this one from Maine is 1825, and you can see it's really fragile. I'm not going to open it because, take my word, it's in there. So of these 13 amendments, I've been on the books all this time. Who's got a vested interest in making it disappear? The federal government, and specifically, you fill up the federal government with bar carded, what I call the bar carded mafia. One third of Congress, one half of almost all the state legislatures are attorneys who are engaged in high treason. That's why they won't talk about it. No judge will honor this. If you take this into court, they will say, no, you're crazy. Those books don't exist. Yeah, they do. I got them right here.
We see.
We got them. And other people have them, not the only one. And there's the Virginia statutes at large. People have copies of that. Every state prior to 1866 that existed adopted the original 13th Amendment. So I look at that and I say the wrong people are going to jail for digging a hole.
Absolutely.
Digging a hole to protect yourself against a federal onslaught after what we know about the federal BLM now with Daniel Love planning.
Well, not to mention the BLM and the Hammonds.
Well, yeah, we didn't even talk about the Hammonds, and that's why the Bundys went up there to help the Hammonds. Father and son Hammond refused to sell their ranch. And because they refused to sell it, the federal government said, oh, really? Oh, really? You won't sell it?
Well, they attacked him for over 24 years.
Yeah, I mean, 24
it's
years.
It's been a fight for every rancher, farmer, everything for the past 30 years.
Yeah, and the Bundys' main crime was growing cattle for people to have steaks and hamburgers.
I'd like to interject this this guy, the Center for Biological Diversity, Suckling. There's a whole crutch comes on the tortoise, okay? So the tortoise is benefited by cattle on the land. And this is where we need to kick it out from us.
Coexisting for
100 years. Yeah, there's 300-year study that shows the existence and the benefit.
Mr. Easley's jumping back 20-some years. Originally, they told the Bundys and the 52 ranchers that gave up before the Bundys. That's another thing. The Bundys, if you haven't been following, are the last of 53 ranchers in what they call the strip north of North Las Vegas up to the gap where you go in towards St. George and the river comes out, and it's really that area has two very rare minerals, and they want to strip mine it. And the ENN Corporation, which is a communist Chinese front group for the Chinese communist military, wants to bring in 5,000 Chinese to strip mine that. But they had to get the Bundys and the others out. Cliven Bundy is a hero. He should have his face engraved at Mount Rushmore.
He's on a coin.
He should be on more than a coin. He should be up on up there on Mount Rushmore. He did more than two of those heads up on Mount Rushmore ever did. He stopped the BLM, and not only that, he suffered 700 days. None of those heads on Mount Rushmore ever spent 700 days in jail upholding the Constitution and pushing the federal government back into their 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. and their military bases. Cliven did that, but he paid a terrible, terrible price to do that. And then they cut him off. Gloria cut him off because if the jury, don't you agree?
Yep.
If the jury had been allowed to give a verdict, it would have been so damning. It would have been like the Michael Jackson trial that I went to, and I was the only one that said, Michael's going home free. The prosecutors have falsified all the evidence. They've all been caught. The witnesses have been caught in their lies. Same thing here. When Wooten changed sides, that was a point where I'm sure a light went on in Gloria Navarro's head saying, oh, my Satan, I'm in deep trouble.
I think there was a lady, Pamela, I think was her name, that came on the stand that was the one that actually released the information about there being a camera watching over the Bundy ranch. And because they withheld that information and hid it for two years.
For 2 years.
Rugwell was her name. Yeah. Rugwell. Yes.
Rugwell.
That's not Pamela. It's I forget her first name. It's Rugwell.
She's the one that first opened the door.
But how many other agents are going to flip sides when they see? Because I'm sure all those BLM agents didn't know Daniel had a written kill list of people to be killed and murdered. That's premeditated murder.
Yeah.
So every one of those BLM agents, including Wooten, are accessories to a pre-planned murder.
They had pictures of Eric Parker and Cliven Bundy with red X's on them in the notebook.
Yeah,
they also had pictures pinned up on the bulletin board. With X's. Yeah.
I'd like to see photos of those walls with those pictures, but I don't think.
Yeah, Eric Parker, he was up there.
The wall and shredded them on the 12th.
Yeah, and this was what Ryan.
Thing that was there. They shredded all the documentation, and that's what started the.
They called it a hurried shredding. See, I was in court.
That's prison of felony because you're hiding evidence.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're destroying evidence. So whoever shredded that needs to be indicted as well.
Beyond the Brady violations and the Giglio violations. This is an outright, it was a shoot to kill and cover up operation.
Shoot to kill and cover up. And I think there's even more that we don't know yet. I mean, I would have never dreamed that they would have actually had a written kill list where they actually put it in writing. This guy must die, this one, this one, this one. We're going to kill these people. That's premeditated murder with malice aforethought. You get
absolutely.
You can get the death penalty for that. And I'm wondering why the U.S. prosecutors haven't gone after Daniel P. Love in the second in command and Neil Kornsey and said, come, we've got some handcuffs for you. Absolutely. We want you to sit in this nice, safe room because we want to protect you from the militia. And we might just put you on trial.
Maybe.
That's what should be happening. It's not happening.
They're so well protected. Larry Klayman is right now they're going for establishing the jurisdiction in the state of Nevada for the control of the lands. And then he told me that then he's going for to have Myrie disbarred, which I don't think is near enough.
Oh, no, disbarment is
locked up.
Yeah. He's an accessory to murder. He's an accessory after the fact to murder. And I know a man that was working here in this town who didn't know that his relative was going to kill somebody, just drove the car and found out after he killed him that he'd killed him. But he didn't know driving him there. He got 25 years in jail for finding out after the fact and not immediately calling the cops. And that was a relative of his. He did 25 years for something he didn't know happened. So I think the prosecutors, not just Steve Myrie, but all of those prosecutors.
Myrie.
Steve Myrie and all the prosecutors need to be held for accessory to murder.
Nadia Ahmed and Stephen Myrie were at the Bundy Ranch in previous to April 2014, as early as March. Yeah. They were out there during the operation. They were they were trying to entrap the Bundys, like you were speaking of earlier. Now, also, this is secondhand and hearsay, but I understand at the airport that the governor was there. I probably not even say this without saying it, but the sheriff was there. Harry Reid and somebody from D.C. There were high ups that stayed outside the local scene there. And I'm sorry, I don't have can't collaborate.
My Bundy hat, because I've been wearing this Bundy cowboy hat because these guys are the most honorable gentlemen I've seen anywhere, because they paid the price. They spent months, years in jail. And now the militia is paying the price. And people, you need to call 202-456-1111 and say full pardons for all the militia from Malheur resistance and for
the Bundy's
stand in 2014.
Stand up.
We need to see the real criminals that were wearing the BLM outfits, and we need to find out who else was wearing BLM shoulder patches and uniforms but weren't really in the BLM.
Well, I'll tell you something else.
We need to identify the Las Vegas Metropolitan Bomb Squad people that were out there. What was they doing? They're way outside their jurisdiction. This was Metropolitan. There's video and photos of them out there. What were they doing? They need to be held as accessories to murder. And the reason they need to be held, the Las Vegas police had no idea, but that doesn't matter. Under the law, if you assist somebody who's planning premeditated murder, you are as guilty as they are.
Let's not forget the Oregon State Police.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The Oregon State Police stood around and just watched. The Clark County Police stood around and did nothing. The sheriff of Clark County could have stopped all of this if he had just said.
The sheriff of Harney County could have stopped everything that was going on if he'd just done his job and protected the people.
There were several tech squads there. There was from L.A. They had several elite sniper teams. And you know that what do they call them? Special response teams.
Special response.
Right.
They call them kill snipers.
Now, yeah, and Dan Love, he was out there all cowboyed up with his ball cap on backwards.
Yeah.
His rifle slung over there. Dressed as a civilian. And how many other feds were out there in amongst us there at in the Toco Wash?
Well, I'm sure if it all comes out, you're going to find out there were at least three videotapes that we have not seen or heard of. You're going to find that out. If everything comes out, if Whipple does a thorough job,
Rico,
that's a problem. He will need money because this whole process takes a lot of money. They make it deliberately expensive so the criminals win. I mean, the bar-carded people win. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. But the average citizen doesn't have the money. They can't keep slugging it out and slugging it up. So we named the guy that was just arrested today or turned himself in today. Yeah. Wayne?
Dwayne,
how do you spell his last name?
E-H-M-E-R. Dwayne Emer.
And who else up in Oregon is going to jail? Yeah.
Jason Patrick's going to be sentenced in March.
Well, he's filed for retrial. And, Jake Ryan was sentenced at 2:30 today. I've not heard.
He also filed.
Yeah. So
they got petitions in to get it to go back to court.
This is a case where Tom Mezzaro should do a pro bono. And I know him. I'll call him and see if he'll. I don't know if he will, but I'll call Tom Mezzaro because he does his job, he does a really thorough job. That's why they weren't able to buffalo the jury in the Michael Jackson case. So how many militia do we have totally in chief?
They never did, but the militia there.
How many?
From both of them?
From both of them.
I'm not sure how many from both of the...
Okay. Well, thank you for coming in and stopping by in Santa Maria. I wish we could
have... had that number?
Which number? On. No, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't. And you know what? There are so many great people, men and women, that have taken a stand. The standoff was by the feds. It wasn't the folks that came up to stand.
I'm out of tape. I just saw the light.
Okay.
So write your name down so I'd be sure I get it down right.
Okay, folks.
I've got a little bit of tape left here, but I just have to look that down.
Write your name and write down the guy's, Dwayne's name. I was hoping to get a little bit.
And I'll get you all the information and
forward it to
you. Yeah, you know what? It was a missed opportunity, and I feel like an idiot.
I didn't know the studio was doing, because we need termite control. It's literally the choice.
So that's where you need my
name. I need your name. Give me a phone number in case I want to call you back. And if you can give me the address for Jerry Delamus.
Dilemmas, yeah.
And these others, I'd like to write them a letter.
Okay.
Because it's very lonely sitting in jail.
Sure. And Jerry writes to his wife, and she shares also, Susan.
Somebody had all their addresses up and where to write to Cliven and Bundy and all of them before, but it's gone.
Really?
They're all out, and I can't find it anymore.
I think Maureen has it.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
she'd have all the SID numbers and all their locations and everything.
We got to get Cliven Bundy's his busk up on Mount Rushmore because he literally pushed the. No one has done.
Add yourself back in, Tom. I'm going to bring Tom in while we're going live just for a few minutes. And
my tape is done. Are you still rolling, Stephen? Stephen's still rolling.
Okay, so I'm going to wait for him.
Get a shot of.
Yeah, the P3 list.
Put my camera back. It's in your way. Got the P3.
Tom, add yourself in here and let me bring you in and we're going to put, there we go. All right. We're going to bring, we're bringing Thomas in. We're adding now. Okay. So he's coming up here in just a minute.
Hey.
There's Thomas.
Tom Lockenberry, okay. Stewart, RTR Truth Media in a federal halfway house right now.
Can you hear? Well enough.
Somebody's in the federal house.
Yes, this is Thomas Lockevar Stewart.
Yeah, I'm
Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've seen that.
Yes, and I've seen you too, William. All of my listeners and the people that go to my website, Resurrect the Republic, we have supported your work on the 13th Amendment for a very long time. I had my wife go to the Sam Houston Texas State Library in Liberty, Texas, and she went in with the camera crew. And we recorded their copies of the Virginia Annotated Code with the 13th Amendment in it as well. So this is something that we've been trying to educate the public about for a very long time. It's kind of one of those issues that it's near and dear to my heart. We as Americans have a responsibility to know our history.
our history is crucially and critically important, especially the, you know, original intent of a lot of the laws. Our founders weren't stupid, and a lot of corrupt men. Okay. A lot of corrupt men have.
No, they weren't stupid, yeah. And a great many of them that signed the Declaration of Independence were wiped out financially or dead by the time the U.S. Constitution was signed, and George Washington became the first four-year president, which most people don't know. We had 4 1-year presidents before George Washington.
That's correct.
Most Americans don't heard of the original 13th Amendment. And for a long time, I thought it was just patriot folklore. And that's why I told Gus, you deliver those books. Don't send them to me through UPS. I don't want them lost. You deliver them to me in Santa Maria, and I'll pay you $1,000 a piece. And I did. I paid them in cash because, to me, it's important to document. And that's why I've got these 4 books, and I try to protect them a little bit. 1838, yes. It said. And this one is from Maine. It was the Maine broke off from Massachusetts, and they just had their state statutes and the Constitution with the 13 amendments, and that's 1825. I don't want to open it up. And this is the one I usually.
Wasn't it Representative Tremblay in, I believe, New Hampshire that convened a panel? That they found their ratified copy in their archives and
I think you're right. They did.
Yeah.
And the problem is the bar carded mafia, we call the bar association, they call themselves members of the bar. Number one, they don't have a license to practice law because you can't license to practice law.
That's right.
It's a common law right. Number two, they've now infected all 3 branches of government, which is the real tragedy, and it tells you in the Federalist Papers, which is a separate document.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what chapter 42 or 32, it says if you ever have the same hands group in all 3 branches of government, you'll have absolute tyranny.
Yes.
And that's what we've got. We've got absolute tyranny because you got lawyers in the executive. Lawyers fill up half of Congress. Ron Paul was a rare congressman simply because he was a medical doctor and not a lawyer.
Right.
But virtually every congressman you look at, every other one is a lawyer.
Well,
and
you know,
when they joined the bar,
William,
they lost the office.
My father and brother were both attorneys and judges, and I can tell you, after many long conversations with my father, that this has been a problem of the funding for the foundations that control the curriculum in these law schools. A lot of these lawyers don't understand this. They don't know it. There are a lot of really good men and women who seek to go on to this profession not understanding the nature of it. And that's why when they hear this information, it's like a shock to them because it's an attack on their integrity. But they have to be taught too. They have to learn their history because they're part of an organization that has controlled the entire government and we're all, like you said, all 3 branches of government. And but, you know, there's a lot of good people out there like Chris Ann Hall and many more of her ilk that are awakening
Michael
or awakened.
Texas.
What's that?
Yeah.
There's Michael Mings in Texas. He's a good soul. He just doesn't know the true law.
Right.
He doesn't know the true history. Thomas Mesro's a really good person. Even if he wasn't a lawyer, he'd be a really good person.
Right.
He just has a good soul. And there's a few of these people. It's my hope that this will be the year, 2018, I'm going to publish a new book, and it's going to have the documentation from all these ancient books, and we'll hold a major conference for people to come to and get a copy, and they'll be able to see the Virginia Statutes at Large, and be able to see these originals, and then they'll see the certified pages from these documents in the new book.
Yes.
And I'll have thousands of them printed, and we'll get them in the law schools, we'll get them in the schools, and it'll be a battle because the people that control the curriculum will say, no, that's not true, that's not right. But
yeah.
I've got offers out to 2 professors right now, and I've shown this to 2 disbarred attorneys that didn't know there was an original 13th Amendment.
Right.
So when I showed them the book, I said, oh, my God, I went to 2 of the best law schools. I've got 3 law degrees. I never heard of this.
There you go.
And they went to the best law schools.
There you go. Okay. That's your case in point.
Hey guys,
real quick. Hold on real quick.
Go ahead, Tom.
Mr. Wagner, I respect you.
And I thank you. You've been a mentor to me over the years. It was your material that put me onto this. And I want to personally thank you from one patriot to another, sir. You have my deepest respect and support.
Mine as well.
Keep plugging, because I'm in my 70s and it's getting hard.
It's okay. We'll pick up the mantle when you're ready to retire.
Yeah, well, look for this book. I'm going to get it done this year. It's going to come out. I just need the cooperation, because I don't have all the books from all the pre-1868 states, and we need to get them professionally photographed, professionally certified that they came from the actual book.
Yes.
And place that, just like the guy that wrote The Law That Never Was.
Yes.
He's out of Chicago.
Well, from one New Jersey into another, sir. I came from New Jersey too, and I can tell you that I'm happy to be out of New Jersey. God bless you, sir.
I'll never go back to New Jersey.
No. Jersey, of all things.
I'll never go to New Jersey. Well, thanks, Tom. What state are you in now, Tom?
I am in Oregon in a federal halfway house for my involvement in the Oregon standoff. I'm in a halfway house right now, so I'll be released soon. But
what did you do? Did you move one shovel full of dirt to make that hole?
No, I violated the Interstate Commerce Clause by being an unauthorized person in possession of a instrument that was crossed state or foreign lines of commerce. It's an abuse of the Commerce Clause. I got in some trouble many years ago, and I had a felony out of Florida. It was nonviolent, no person-to-person crime or anything like that. But the reason that I came to the Bundy Ranch was not to commit a crime. It was not to harm anyone. I saw an American family being terrorized, and I came to preserve and protect lives and property, and to cover the story on behalf of RTR Truth Media. And in Oregon, when that happened, I did the same thing, and I was set up by an FBI confidential informant in a hotel room that she rented so that I could use internet to upload our next content. She went to the command post and after placing items in the room, turned me in and had me subsequently arrested. So here I am in Oregon, but you know what? I don't regret it. I would do it 100 times over again, because the cause is righteous.
It is righteous. And if we don't do it, we're already living in tyranny. If we don't do it, our children and grandchildren will hate us if they even remember us at all.
I agree.
Because they'll be trained to think the government is always right, no matter what. The government is your mama and your daddy.
Oh, yeah, it's become a god to people.
And little G. Government is not elegance. Someone once said 200 years ago, government is like a fire, and it needs to be controlled.
Yes.
That's why most of the Constitution tells the government what they can't do.
Yes.
They can't interfere with freedom of speech, press. It tells them what they can't do.
They flipped it.
Tell them what we can't
they've really do. Flipped it on its head. Really, this started at the Civil War, but in the wake of the Civil War and the forcing of the 14th Amendment into law, many states, including the state I'm in right now, Oregon, rescinded the ratification when they realized that there was an underlying agenda to the 14th Amendment and the Reconstruction Acts that was far beyond creating equality for slaves, which I agree with. Of course, anybody who would think that anybody should be enslaved is there's something wrong with them. Our founders were trying to put that issue to rest too. But anyway, the 14th Amendment that was not lawfully ratified, you know, the president at the time, Andrew Johnson, said, he said that if this is allowed to move forward, it'll make the law itself unlawful, and it'll create a de facto government. He said those two sentences in two different veto addresses, and it was Secretary of State William Seward that pushed it through, through Executive Order 6 and 7. And then, of course, we had the Act of 1871, and then we had the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. Then we had this wonderful Colonel Mandel House and FDR and of course, the bankruptcy. And your registration of your biological property.
You've got to get off your probation and come to the conference this year.
And listen, guys, I've got to cut you off. We got to get back to Vegas.
RTR Truth Media, really... Resurrect the Republic with William Wagner. God bless you, sir.
And happy birthday,
thank you,
Thomas.
This was a birthday present for me, Mr. Wagner. God bless you. God bless you.
And I'm so proud to have met you and known you from Bunkerville. We came together out, or we met up out there together.
We did.
You know, I'm still good learning man. The ropes here. I'm just a person reporting.
Yeah, and you are the person reporting. You're there, though, and we appreciate you being there, Vinny.
Right on, brother.
All right, God you, bless you.
Bye, Thomas.
God bless. Bye, sir.
Well, I don't want to keep you guys.
We're going to get peace out, you guys. Yeah, well, man, that's my fault. Take care, folks. Then?